Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition. We've got a very special show for you today. On today's show, we're coming to you live from the Secrets of Successful Syndication in Dallas, Texas. Today's talk is a presentation I gave in front of a live audience, and it's entitled Cap Rate is Irrelevant. Enjoy today's case study on what financing in the current conditions implies. I know it's the end of the day. I'm going to ask you to stay with me for the next 9 minutes. And if I do my job well, these next 9 minutes will either terrify you or inspire you, hopefully both. This is not a real case study. It's a hypothetical case study. And in the last syndication conference, I made a last minute game day decision to ditch the real case study and share something with you that I think you need to hear. What's happening in the marketplace today is dangerous. I think we would all agree. But you need to recognize the signs and see where the danger actually lies. That's what we're going to go through today. And I named this talk that the appraisal cap rate is irrelevant. We often hear talk about cap rate. Put up your hand if you do not know what cap rate is. Okay? So I'll explain it because I don't want anyone left behind. If you take your gross operating income, you subtract your expenses, you get your net operating income. That is the profit before you pay any debt service. If you divide that profit by your total investment, that is the cap rate. That is a measure of yield, independent of what your debt service costs. So it's a normalized way of measuring the evaluating one property against the next. And that's often how lenders look at cap rate or look at property valuation. It's often how appraisers look at it. But in today's environment, it absolutely doesn't matter. You will often hear a lender tell you, we will loan 70% loan to value. Well, what is the value? Value is determined by cap rate. So that measure of loan to value is irrelevant. And that's what we're going to talk about. So this is a hypothetical example. It's a 200-unit apartment complex. It's taken from numbers that are very similar to projects that we work on, so it's not far from reality, but it's a contrived example. A year ago, anyone doing a project like this would have probably got a bridge loan to build this project and then convert into permanent financing. We're going to cover a couple of numbers here. Not going to do a ton of math, but a little bit. In the bridge loan world, I'm going to ask our commercial lending expert, Anton, in your opinion, what percentage of multifamily deals over the last couple of years were done with bridge financing? 90% of multifamily deals over the last couple of years were done using bridge debt. So what does that mean? This is a short-term loan. You're going to get the property leased up and stabilized, and then you're going to convert into permanent financing. You are not rate locked into your permanent financing until you achieve that milestone of being leased up and stabilized. The assumption would have been, a year ago today, of a permanent financing rate, the number would have started with a 3. That's very far from where we are today. No one is talking about numbers that start with a 3, not even a 4. So they would have underwritten these deals. Now, what they would have done is they would have said, when I convert from my bridge debt into permanent financing, I'm going to get back $5.6 million in refinance. I'm going to get cash back. Maybe not a full cash out refinance, but at least they were going to get a good chunk of cash back. That would have been the goal. And for any of us in this game, that is the goal. Create enough value so that when you refinance, you can get an interim exit, which is not a taxable event. Because when the lender gives you back money, it's not a taxable event. It's awesome. You get cash back, you get to put it in your pocket. That's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. Let's fast forward to today. We've had rates that are rising. That's often going to pull down the value of the property. If you would have assumed a cap rate that was very low last year, the lender's not going to allow you to look at it the same way. They're going to pull down your property value. So not only is the property value going to come down, you're going to end up hitting against this particular metric called your debt coverage limit. When a lender says we're going to lend you money, They say it's going to be the lower of, let's say, 80% loan to cost, 70% loan to value, or debt coverage ratio of 1.18, or debt coverage ratio of 1.25. If it's a HUD loan, a HUD 223F loan, the debt coverage hurdle is 1.18. That's what we've shown here on this particular slide. If that interest rate goes up to 6%, now your debt coverage ratio is less than 1 for that same loan amount. So the lender's clearly not going to allow that to happen. You're not going to get those same loan proceeds. There's no way. If you're going to convert into permanent financing, what's going to happen? In order to hit your debt coverage hurdle, not only are you not going to get cash back, your loan-to-value ratio is going to come down to 56% in this example, which means you're not getting cash back. You have to write a big fat check of $6.3 million. Chances are you didn't plan for that, and chances are you don't have that. So what are you going to do now? You've got a bridge loan that's at a high interest rate. You've got to pay it out. You're going to go back to your investors and say, well, we're going to do a capital call. Well, wait a minute. That capital call is almost equal to the original investment. That's not going to be a fun conversation. You're probably not going to succeed in raising that from your existing investors. The other choice is to go back out into the marketplace and try and sell additional equity. But that's not a great story. That's not a very compelling story, is it? We screwed up. We need additional money. It's going to be dilutive to all the investors. The rate of return stinks, but give us your money because we need it. Like, what? There's really no path. This is the reality for a large percentage of folks that assumed they were going to refinance this year with a number that started with a 3. Because the number, the real numbers, are starting with a 6 or a 7. This is a great time to play offense and a terrible time to be playing defense. So if you happen to be that poor guy or gal that is stuck in that situation, you're in a bad spot. Maybe you're going to extend your bridge loan, pay a large extension fee, hoping that you can get an extra year, maybe waiting for better days. But then you have to ask the question, is that a good move or not? Like, it's not obvious. It's really not obvious. The message here is cap rate doesn't matter. It's all about debt coverage, making sure that you have enough cash flow to cover the debt service. That means being much more conservative in your underwriting when it comes to your debt to equity ratio. You're talking a much, much lower debt ratio. This also means there will be distressed deals coming into the marketplace soon. We're starting to see them. They're just starting now. When I gave this presentation 6 months ago, I predicted it was 6 months away. We're starting to see it. I think in the next 90 days, you're going to start to see more and more and more. And in particular, over the next 6 to 9 months, you're going to see distressed deals, good quality distressed deals coming into the marketplace. It's an opportunity, but you better be ready. You better be ready, have dry powder, have a game plan, and be ready to execute. So what is a tolerable interest rate? Where is the break point? In my estimation, it's just Victor's opinion, that break point is a number that's in the mid fours. That's kind of the comfort for those deals that were done over the last 2 years. If the yield on the 10-year treasury stays low, maybe we'll get to some tolerable numbers, but it's not a given. We really don't know yet what's going to happen with interest rates. This is a very interest rate sensitive period of time that we have to be worried about. So the problem, of course, is that these projects were too highly leveraged. They assumed that they'd be able to refinance into permanent financing. They really have no path to repaying the bridge loan, and they just don't have enough covering equity. So the opportunity is literally over the next several months, and you want to be ready. Who's left holding the bag? Someone's going to get a haircut here. And it is, unfortunately, the equity holders. So the purchase cap rate matters, meaning don't overpay. Absolutely don't overpay for something. Wait for deals. They are coming. That's all I got.
All right. That's Victor Minaj, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a hand. Victor will be around, hanging around. Victor's brain. It's a big one. There's lots to learn still. And